Good evening. It's good to see everybody out tonight. There's an imbalance over. There's a lot of people over here and very few over here, but we're glad that all of you are here. We're thankful that we have an opportunity again, some of us again, to worship God, hopefully in spirit and truth, and to learn something from God's Word and to take something from God's Word. We hope that each and every time that we gather together that we can do that. As Bob mentioned, I'm going to begin, and when we first started this, when we first started the separate services, we really did want to encourage people not to be together all that much. It's kind of an odd thing to do because that's not normally what we would do, but we did want to encourage people to split up a little bit, just so that we could separate and all of those things. And so, part of that strategy was preaching the same lesson. You know, who wants to come back and hear the same lesson? I appreciate the elders doing that, and several times their wives doing that as well, and appreciate them doing that. But the idea and the thought process behind it was to keep people separate. I feel like, being wishful, being hopeful, whatever the case may be, that sometime very soon, you know, we would be able to all be back together and be able to feel safe, while we're here. And part of that is going to be, you know, having those two lessons to encourage people to start to meet again. And so that's part of the reason. The other part is now that we have the camera and that we are going to be recording the sermons, this will just give everybody an opportunity, even if you're not going to come to both services, give everybody an opportunity to hear two lessons. Just have that next opportunity to hear God's Word, to study with people, whether that's on video or in person. And since we're recording them, I felt like, you know, now might be the time to go ahead and to start to split things up. So if you did get the email today, this afternoon, I think it was about 3 o'clock. It takes about 2 hours for these to upload. I have to upload them and condense the file and then get them uploaded onto the internet before I send out the email. So it takes a little while to do that. So it won't be, 6 o'clock tonight when this goes up. It'll be later this evening, but it'll at least give an opportunity for another lesson that will be there for whenever that you have time to listen to it. I also wanted to add to Bob's announcements, and if you got the emails today, hopefully you got the second one about Judy Anderson's brother and sister. Judy's brother was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer, and so it's not a very good outlook. Really looking for prayers for her brother. And her sister-in-law is having a really hard time with it. And then also Judy's sister, who has Parkinson's, and I believe she may attend at Hillview, but she has Parkinson's and her meds are really messed up, I guess. And she's having a lot of pain, having a lot of headaches, and really struggling with her health as well. So please keep Judy's family in your prayers. And I didn't pass that on to Bob, I forgot, but I wanted to make sure that I announced that for those who are here tonight. As we begin tonight, we're going to talk about opportunities in 2021. You know, thankfully we're over 2020, and as I mentioned this morning, you know, we kind of look at 2020. It's the new year is a good time to look back, you know, see what happened throughout the year, and also a good time to look forward. We're kind of, you know, at the start of something new, and so, okay, what worked, what didn't work in 2020, and what can we do differently in 2021? And so, you know, the elders are looking toward that. I am looking toward that. We've got other people looking toward that. What things are happening? What's going on in 2020? But I want to take a step and not just look at the church as a whole. There are some things that are going to be available, hopefully, to us, Lord willing, this upcoming year to take part in, to do things together, and to try to grow this church here. There's going to be those opportunities, but I want to talk to you on a personal level. You know, what are some personal opportunities that we can look at in 2020, and why is it that we don't take advantage of some of the opportunities that we've been given? And as we've said, you know, 2020 feels like, you know, such a bad time. It feels like, you know, nothing could go right. Murphy's Law is, you know, the theme of 2020. If it can go wrong, it will. And then last night, as we were saying our prayers, it was Paige's turn, and I believe she was last. And at the end of her prayer, she ended it with, "Thank you for a great year. Please help us to have another one." And when she said amen, I looked at Alana, and Alana looked at me. I had to take a deep breath, and I said, amen. You know, if we really do look back from a child's perspective, it was a great year. Right? We got to spend all kinds of time together. There was a lot of things that just the family did. And of course, over the last several weeks, especially, you know, a lot of family time, a lot of things that we did together. And if we really start counting those blessings, I think we can say that 2020 was probably a good year. Did a lot of bad things happen? Yes. But we're here. We're breathing. We're doing pretty well considering. And so, you know, just from a child's perspective, there's a lot of things that we can do, a lot of ways that we can look at our lives differently because of that. And I hope that as we go through some of these things and look at these opportunities that we can have in 2020 and what stops us from doing that, hopefully we can get through those hurdles and really make some good choices this year. Again, it's, you know, we're very early on. We're just a couple of days into the new year. And so it's still a good time to make some resolutions. And I would encourage you to make one of those resolutions. And I know you're supposed to be very specific with resolutions or they're not going to happen. But one of the things that I would encourage you to do is to look for opportunities. Be specific in looking for opportunities in ways that you can serve God this year. Because I promise you, they will be there. There will be opportunities for you to serve God this year. But so oftentimes we miss them. And we'll explain a little bit more about why that might be. God always provided an opportunity for Israel. If you were following along in Matthew chapter 21, I want to start out in verse 41 and continue on that parable a little bit. So he says in verse 41, they said to him, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched inn and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper season." So we find this vine grower who sent servant after servant after servant to try to get them to do the right thing. And finally he says, "I'll send my son. Surely they will respect my son." But they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let's kill him and take his inheritance for ourselves." They were presented with an opportunity. Now remember, servant after servant, they abused. But they were given another opportunity with the son, with the heir. And they said, "No, let's take his inheritance and have that for ourselves." And so the question that Jesus asks is, what is this owner of this vineyard going to do to those people? And so the response is, he will bring them to a wretched inn. He will rent out the vineyard to somebody else who is going to pay them the proper proceeds. Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you,'" he's making it personal to them, "'and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust.'" And so Jesus says, "You're right. That's exactly what he's going to do to him. And haven't you read in scripture that you are these people?" You remember how Nathan had to tell David, "You are the man." Jesus is telling the children of Israel here, "You are the people. You're the people that are taking care of this vineyard, that are rejecting all of the servants and killing the son." And so he's trying to provide them with another opportunity to change. Opportunities will come often. So the question is, why don't more people take advantage of those opportunities? Why don't they take advantage of becoming a Christian? Why don't they take advantage of coming back or repenting of their sins? Why don't they take advantage of just every day doing good? Doing what we're supposed to do as Christians. Why don't people take advantage of those opportunities? And so today I want to look at some of the reasons why we won't do that or we don't do that. We can either miss those opportunities, meaning they don't look like opportunities to us at times, and so we miss them. We didn't know they were there, maybe until they get past us. We weren't looking for them, and so they've gone by us unnoticed. Or why we don't want them. Why we don't want to take advantage of those opportunities. I want to just discuss 3 points tonight. The first being, the reason that we miss these opportunities, the reason that we let them pass by, or the reason that we don't want them, is that opportunities are often disguised as problems. We're looking at them in the wrong way. And again, as I mentioned, Paige, looking at 2020 and saying, you know, it's a great year. Give us another one, just like this one. We didn't see it like that. You know, we didn't look at it like that. We didn't look at it in such a way that, you know, wow, this was such a great year. I'd love to have another one just like it, because it looked like problems to us. But to a child's perspective, it looks a whole lot different. There was a cartoon called Pogo. Most of you probably will not even recognize that name. You wouldn't see it, you know, besides Snoopy or Charlie Brown or, you know, any of those characters that we might be familiar with. Calvin and Hobbes, which was one that I enjoyed when I was a kid. But this one started in 1941, and it ran until the creator's death. Actually, the creator died about 1971 or 72, and it ran a little bit after that because he had some more cartoons that he hadn't run yet. So it ran until about 1973, but in one of these cartoons, there was a military officer who was looking at his troop and said this: "Gentlemen, we are surrounded by insurmountable opportunities." And doesn't it feel that way sometimes? An opportunity which you would think, you know, "Gentlemen, we're surrounded by insurmountable opposition." You know, we might think of something like that, or you know, things that are getting in our way. But no, we are surrounded by insurmountable opportunities. Sometimes we miss them because they don't seem like opportunities to us. I think a lot of times we miss them because they don't seem like what we believe opportunity should look like. Often when we see obstacles, it really is an opportunity that God has given us. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, starting in verse 2, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well." Notice that God will open to us a door for the word. Saying, pray that we will have an open opportunity to spread God's word. He goes on, "so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ," notice, "for which I have been imprisoned." Paul looks at this imprisonment, and to Paul, it looks like an opportunity. How many of us would have been imprisoned and said, "you know, I guess that shuts that down, right? I guess I can't do anything now because I'm in prison." And we feel like we would, you know, have to sit and wait until we got out of prison before we could jump back up and do something productive in service to God. But Paul says, no, pray that this is an opportunity for us, that this will open some doors for me to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to talk about the love of God even more. But so often we look at things like this, these obstacles, we don't see them as opportunities. We see them as obstacles, and we allow them to trip us up. Does the opportunity that you have, does it look like trouble? Does it look like a problem? Think about becoming a child of God. Look at Acts chapter 28, something that we talked about in our last Bible study on Wednesday evening. Acts chapter 28 and verse 24, it says, "Some were being persecuted by the things spoken, but others would not believe." So why do some take advantage of becoming a child of God, but others simply won't believe? Well, I believe that becoming a child of God looks like an obstacle to some people. What is it that I'm going to have to give up? I have certain sins in my life that I like. And if I become a child of God, I'm going to have to give those things up. And I don't want to do that. And so becoming a child of God looks like an obstacle. But it's really an opportunity. But so oftentimes we let those things get in the way. Or maybe when I become a child of God, I'm going to have some more responsibility in my life. There's going to be things that I'm going to be responsible to go out and to do. And I don't want to do those things. I don't want to be responsible for something else. I've got enough going on in my life. What about repentance? Coming back to the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter 5, starting in verse 3, it says, O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. You have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. Does repentance look like an obstacle rather than an opportunity? We think about repentance, we think about maybe the embarrassment that will happen when I've got to go forward and I've got to confess all of these things that I've done. All of the mistakes in my life, that's a lot of embarrassment. And not only that, but I'm going to be embarrassed, but now that responsibility that I've shirked this whole time, all that responsibility is coming back. Opportunity looks a lot like work sometimes. And I believe that that's why some people, it's not a good reason, but I believe that that's why some people don't take advantage of those opportunities. Or they feel that they're going to have another opportunity at another time, which we'll talk about in a little while. What about just doing good? Maybe you don't have any active sins in your life that you can think of or pinpoint, but you just don't take advantage of opportunities to do good like you should. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, we read, Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap, if we do not grow weary. Now, as I mentioned in the last lemonade, which I'm going to start back up this week, but the last lemonade that we did for this past year, one of the things that we talked about was kind of doing good, right? We talked about this verse about do not let your heart lose, or do not lose heart in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good things. We think, why does that happen? Well, how could you lose heart in doing good? You know, we think about this Christmas season, right, and giving gifts, and we're doing good things for people, and we see the excitement on the children's faces, or if we give a gift to someone, we see the excitement on their face. How could you grow weary doing good? Well, here's the problem. Doing good does not always mean giving a gift. Or giving money. Doing good may be telling someone something that they need to hear that they don't want to hear. Doing good may be, telling someone something that they're doing wrong, that they're going to have to change. And they're not going to want to hear it. Not everyone is going to be appreciative of the things that you do for them, even if it is a good gift that you're giving. There are going to be people that take those gifts and say, I got another one of those, or I don't need that, or you know, what else? I'm sure we've all seen kids that are ready for that next present. I like it when the kids, you know, really get focused on something that you've given them and they don't want to move on, right? Because they have something that they like and that they enjoy and that they're truly trying to involve themselves in, and you know, we're telling them, no, I've got more for you. But there are some kids that will open and throw it off to the side and say, what's next? Don't I have any more? And they're not going to be appreciative of it. Well, the same thing's going to happen sometimes in the world. You're going to help someone. You're going to give them money. You're going to buy them a meal, and they're going to expect something else. And God says, then don't lose heart in doing it. It's easy when somebody's appreciative. It is easy when we get to tell people good things that they've done. and encourage them. Oh, you did a wonderful job. You did great. It is difficult when we have to do correcting, when we have to tell them things that they might need to change. So he says, don't lose heart in doing good. And I believe that's why he says that, because not everything is going to be pleasant, but it still needs done. I believe that sometimes we miss opportunities because opportunities are time sensitive. There's a story that Walt Disney gave an opportunity to one of his friends. He was getting ready to start Disneyland. He knew that it was going to be something that was going to be really big, and he called one of his friends, his close friend, and he offered him to buy some of the scrub land surrounding Disneyland, knowing that it was going to be worth a lot of money someday. And so he wanted to give his friend an opportunity to get in on the ground floor so that he could later sell that land that was going to be worth so much for so much higher price than he was going to pay for it. And so in making that offer, his friend said, you know what, I just need some time to think about it. And he thought and he thought and he thought, to the point that Walt Disney said, you know what, I've got to move on. Because this is time sensitive. I need to make this decision right now. And if you can't make this decision right now, I've got to move on to someone else. And so his friend lost out on this opportunity to make millions of dollars on this land that was surrounding Disneyland at some point, because he didn't want to make that decision right now. Again, how often do we fall into that trap? How often do we fall into the trap of, you know what, I've got another, next week, right? Or next time. In Matthew 21 and verse 43, it says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. Jesus tells the children of Israel, listen, you have your time. You've had your time, you didn't take advantage of it, and now it's gone. Now, that does not mean that the Jews still couldn't become Christians. But I believe what Jesus is trying to say here is that it's time to we need to move on in the process. You can always catch back up to us. That message will always be there. You can always come back to us. But right now, we're going to take the message to the people that are going to listen to it. It's going to be taken away. It's going to be removed from you. We're going to take it to the Gentiles, because the Gentiles will listen and they'll produce fruit. And again, that doesn't mean that God is not willing to let us catch up at some point. But there may be a point in time in our lives where God has offered us so much and we say no. We say, wait a minute, let me think about it, to where God says, you know what, I'm going to move on to somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't come back or that God has given up on us in some way. But he may say, my time will be better spent somewhere else, somewhere where somebody is going to be producing the fruit. The opportunity's there as long as you're alive. And as long as my son has not returned, that opportunity is always there. But I need to move on. Elijah asked this question of the children of Israel that really suggests to us that time is always sensitive. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. They weren't ready to make a decision even yet. But he said, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to worship Baal and try to worship God? Because you can't do both. Make a decision. If you believe that God is God, if you believe him, then you know that Baal is not God. But if Baal is God, then you know that God, the Lord God is not God. So worship Baal. But make a decision. Why are you hesitating between these two opinions? Elijah is telling them that this is time sensitive here. You need to make a decision. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 3. As the children of Israel are taking so much time hesitating in the land, they've gotten to a point where they've taken over a lot of the land that God had promised them, but not all of it. And they were kind of taking a break. You know, they're doing a little hiatus and saying, you know, there's been enough war, and they were kind of relaxed. So we've got enough land. And so Joshua asks them, so Joshua said to the sons of Israel, how long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? How long are you going to wait? Because it's not going to stay there forever. Again, if you read the historical account here, the children of Israel didn't get as much of the land as they should have because of this. They hesitated on a lot of things. They didn't completely destroy a lot of the people in the land that they were supposed to completely destroy. And so they didn't get as much as they would have if they would have just gone and done what God wanted them to do. And then we see over the years, now it got pretty big in the days of Solomon, but from that point we see it dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling to where it was down to nothing. I believe that oftentimes we miss out on opportunities because we're afraid. When we look at an opportunity as a problem, when we look at an opportunity and say we need to make a decision quickly, that can be scary. It can be scary to have to make a quick, fast decision. And a lot of times we feel like, well, if I don't have time to think about it, then I'll make the wrong one. Listen, I'll tell on myself here, but I pride myself on working well under pressure. And there are very few times where pressure has really gotten to me. One of those times was when Alana was pregnant with Braden. It was something that I had never been through before. And he was 3 weeks early, so I had not had time to process yet, and she went into labor. And as we were leaving the house, she said, I'm going to get sick. You better get something for me to throw up in. And I'm already frantic and trying to get things together to get her to the hospital. And so on the way out the door, I grabbed our kitchen trash can, which was full of garbage, dumped it inside of our kitchen on the floor, handed it to her when we were in the car. And I did go back and pick up the trash before she got home and settled, but it was rather disgusting because I had no idea what was in it. It was a very fast decision. Maybe I made the right decision, but I would say probably not, considering there were a lot of other good alternatives to dumping the trash can on the kitchen floor. But it got to me. So we look at it and we think, I've got to make a decision right now, right? It's scary. And it's usually because opportunities are all about the future, aren't they? An opportunity is about the future. And the future can be scary because it's an unknown thing. And we understand that if it is an opportunity, I hope we understand that work is going to be necessary. We're going to have to do something. It's not just going to be given to us, handed to us. That's not an opportunity. That's a gift. An opportunity is something that we're going to have to work for. It means that there's something presented to you that you can get to, but you're going to have to work to get it. You're going to have to do something to take advantage of it. That's an opportunity. Something that's handed to you is a gift. That's what we look for. We look for gifts. We don't look for opportunities. I watched my dad once. He was negotiating with someone. It was something that he wanted and had wanted for a long time. And he was talking to the person about the price. And the guy said to him, listen, Scotty, everybody calls him Scotty. Listen, Scotty, this is a good deal. And my dad replied with, I'm not looking for a deal, I'm looking for a steal. Now, a lot of times, spiritually speaking, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a steal, right? We want a gift. We want God just to give us something, and we want to call that an opportunity, but that's not an opportunity. An opportunity is something that we're going to have to work for. It's something about the future that we know that we're going to have to do, and that can be scary at times. I know that, but we don't have to fear. We don't need to fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. We don't have to fear. God hasn't given us this timid spirit. If we trust, if we follow God, then all will work out to our benefit. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, there's confidence given to us here in saying, Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I've said this over and over. I love this verse, but in the original Greek as it is written, or Hebrew, because it's a quote, there's five negatives in here. And so you can read it in this way, I will never, ever desert you, nor will I ever, ever, ever forsake you. Five negatives here. He's trying to prove a point, drive home the point that I will not leave you alone. So as you're going through this opportunity and taking advantage of this opportunity, understand that I will be there. And also understand that it doesn't take much. As we talked about last week with God, a little bit of God goes a long way. In Revelation 3 and verse 8, we're told, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put you put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. You don't have everything. The world is not, you know, the world hasn't given you everything, but you've got a little power, and that's all you need with God. We just need a little bit of God to go a long way. Now, again, I'm not saying strive for a little bit of God. No, strive for everything that you can get from God. Take advantage of all the opportunities that God has given you. But what God is saying is, I can do great things with just a little bit of you, in essence. Give me just a little bit and I'll do great things with you. And then those things will lead to more things. And then once we get into that groove, it is no longer scary to take advantage of those opportunities. It is no longer frightening to do that. Again, one of the things that this is not a, you know, pat Tony on the back thing either. But one of the things that I've always prided myself in is trying to handle pressure well. And so in sports, I tried to do that. Now, I worked really hard to get to that point where I felt comfortable in pressure situations. I honestly can't tell you how many last second shots I took. But what I can tell you is I took most of them. Was I our leading scorer? No. But I took most. If there was 1 second left and we needed a basket, 9 times out of 10, coach called me. Why? Because I didn't care if I missed. I was probably the only one. It didn't make me nervous because it was just a game. Now, did I want to win? Yes. Did I work hard? Yes. But I earned those opportunities. And after making several of those opportunities, I wasn't scared anymore. A lot of my teammates probably were. But when that time came, I wanted it in my hands. If I make it, great. The team won. If I miss it, fine. I lost the game. I was willing to say that. I was willing to do that. So often, though, we become so frightened that we don't want to take advantage of those opportunities. But I'm telling you, through experience, both physically and spiritually, if you take advantage of those opportunities and you get through that fear, you overcome that fear, the next opportunity is not as scary. And the next one is not as scary. And you'll see how much we can do for God. I want you to take away tonight that there's always going to be opportunities for you. There will always be opportunities laid in front of us by God. But there's always going to be a choice as to whether we take advantage of it or not. God is not going to force you to take advantage of an opportunity that He sets in front of you. In fact, oftentimes we miss opportunities because we're not looking for them. And so I'm going to encourage you in 2021, be on the lookout for those opportunities. And they may be small, but be on the lookout for them and take full advantage of them. Because it is a choice whether or not we take advantage of an opportunity. Again, if something's given to us, it's a gift. But there seems like there's so many reasons not to, don't there? Well, there's always going to be problems that come with these opportunities. There's never going to be enough time to make the right decision. I know of people that sometimes analyze things so much that they miss a lot of opportunities because they're time sensitive. God's are as well. We need to be ready to take advantage of them. They're going to be frightening. We're going to be afraid. But we still need to do it. In Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 21. Acts 14 and verse 21. It says, after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It is right there in black and white. Sometimes I don't do a very good job of presenting what Christianity is all about. It's going to be difficult. Through many tribulations, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. It's not going to come easily. As we've said over and over, God loves the process. He loves to see us grow and to do things that He's asked us to do, to take advantage of those opportunities. He loves that. That's why He puts so many in front of us. But it is going to come with tribulation. Those opportunities that we see, yes, they're going to come with trouble. They're going to pass us sometimes because we don't take advantage of them. We're going to be afraid to do it, but it will all be worth it in the end. Tonight, you have the opportunity to become a child of God. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you can be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We see that example all throughout Scripture. And as the song suggests, oh, why not tonight? What would be a better time than right now to become a child of God? If you're here and you are a child of God who has been slipping, been struggling, maybe missing opportunities, now is the time to get your life turned around, to pray, to ask God to help you to see those opportunities when they come, and to have the strength to take advantage of them as well. If you're here and you're a child of God who has fallen away and you need the prayers of the saints here, we're willing to pray with you. We're willing to pray for you and help you get back on the right track. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.